Welcome to Calibrate Conversations, a podcast about embracing God's standard for sexuality. I'm your host, Brady Cohn. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a little while since we've had an episode. I have taken a little break over the holidays, and it's so great to just be back and be talking about these issues that are so important. So thank you so much for joining us. Tonight is going to be kind of a short episode. I'm going to talk about some of the news articles happening right now regarding gender issues. So President Trump recently issued an executive order. It's pretty long. I'm not going to read it, but it's banning so-called gender-affirming care for kids. And so gender-affirming care is, you know, all this so-called health care. I use that in like quotes because it's not actually health care, but to help people transition gender. So it includes puberty blockers to keep kids from going through puberty and developing, you know, normally cross-sex hormones to help give you the body of the opposite sex, surgeries, you know, and then programs to help them transition socially and go by a different name and look different and dress different and all of that that's involved in transitioning genders. And so none of that is actually healthcare, you know, and we're manipulated so much by people trying to tell us that this is necessary healthcare and we're denying healthcare to transgender people. And that's just not the case. Like, that's not healthcare. It's actually harming them. And so as a Christian, I celebrate that we are trying to put a stop to the madness, right? But as Christians, there's other aspects of it that I think is completely missed. And I want to talk about a little bit of that tonight, the spiritual aspect of this. Now, I've talked about transgenderism before. I've talked about, you know, gender-affirming care and why it's so wrong. That's in previous episodes. Go find that. I've talked to pediatricians. Dr. Evan LaCour did a great episode a couple of years ago on puberty blockers and transitioning. Go find that from a couple of years ago. I've shared stories of detransitioners and what they've went through and how God really redeemed and restored their lives. So go find some of those. One of those is John. Another one is Brent. Those are great episodes. But tonight I'm just going to talk about a little bit about this current cultural moment, especially with how it intersects with politics right now. So I normally don't talk about politics a lot. That's not what we're here for, but sometimes culture and Christianity intersects with politics. And that is where we are at in this moment. So as Trump has banned, you know, gender-affirming care for minors, which everyone under, you know, 19, I have three observations or just truths I want us to know and contemplate in this moment in our culture. First is this, that laws don't change people's hearts. And so, yes, we use laws to protect people. And I'm thankful that we're doing that. We should seek to protect kids from something that is absolutely harmful and abusive to them. We know that they have believed lies about themselves, that they've been deceived. And as Christians, we know that what they need is a change of heart, which can only come from a work of the Holy Spirit for them to come to know the truth. In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Like, these people desperately need Jesus, and that should be our goal, is Jesus. Like, laws don't fix the lies that they have believed. I see many Christians celebrating and talking about this issue and people in a way that I doubt will soften their heart towards the truth. And I have to check myself on that sometimes too when it comes to all kinds of political issues. I have to ask myself, am I talking about this in a way that's going to bring actual spiritual redemption to people's lives? Our goal as Christians is to make disciples of Jesus. I agree with a recent blog post that I saw recently in which someone pointed out that the rhetoric and conversation around these political victories is such that it will actually drive people further away from reality. we see that when people are confused about their gender, we know that they are believing something that isn't true. Because they've been deceived, they will believe that they're in grave danger with this new, you know, political administration. They believe that we are going to go out and like commit genocide against all the trans people. That is literally something that is being, they're being fed and lied to about, and people are believing it. They're scared. And we know that so much of this is based on their delusions and propaganda they're being fed. But those delusions are real to them. They've been indoctrinated to believe that they are transgender and that they'll be persecuted and abused and threatened and sometimes even killed. They believe that they're going to be rounded up like in the Holocaust. And we know that that is just, you know, baloney, to put it nicely. I don't believe that that's going to happen anyway. I don't think there's any real indication of that. But to them, the fear is real because they have been indoctrinated with it, and that's what they believe. And these executive orders don't change that. It doesn't change that fear. It might actually, I'm sure for many, is driving them to more fear. And as followers of Christ, we need to have compassion and we need to care about the individuals who are hurting. Sometimes I think we don't always do a very good job of separating the wolves from the sheep. The wolves are the ones pushing this trans ideology and harming our kids, and they need to be stopped. But the sheep are the victims who need to be cared for. We need to believe that God can redeem and restore each and every one of them. He can, and he wants to, and he has given us a role in that. So let's make sure we're doing our part and not only fighting off the wolves, which the laws help do, but also nurturing the wounds of the hurting sheep, which need a great physician, which is God himself, to do it. My second observation is that the reactions by some of the medical organizations are actually proof that these surgeries have been happening to minors. And so I was reading some news articles on some of these statements that are coming out from hospitals, and a big hospital system in New York said that they begin canceling transgender appointments for kids, including two 12-year-olds who are supposed to start puberty blockers last week. And that's so tragic that they were doing this to begin with. Those puberty blockers cause irreversible damage to a child's development. In Colorado, a spokesperson for Denver Health told NBC News that stopped performing gender surgeries on children and young people under the age of 19. Excuse me, but we've been told for years that those surgeries weren't actually happening, and whistleblowers in certain hospitals were actually charged with crimes by the Biden administration for sounding the alarm bells saying that these surgeries are secretly happening. But we see these statements from hospitals all over. In Virginia, the VCU Health and Children's Hospital of Richmond confirmed to these different news outlets that they halted their transgender medication and surgeries on children and kids under the age of 18. It's like, okay, so you're admitting that you were doing it. And it's so frustrating because whenever I talk about transgenderism on the podcast and there's clips of it shared on our TikTok and different places, there's so many people comment, oh, no one's doing surgery on minors. That's just a conspiracy theory. But by saying that they're stopping doing surgery on minors, they're acknowledging that they were doing it to begin with. And so that's happening all over the country. And I celebrate that, you know, these programs are being put on pause, at least for right now. That's a great thing. We should be passing these laws to protect our kids. So I celebrate that. But that leads me to my third point, which is a prediction, which is that I don't believe that most transgender care will actually stop. This has been happening so underground. It's been happening secretly. It's been being covered up. You know, these major universities and hospitals have been denying doing it while clearly doing it. And so publicly stating that they're stopping does not mean that it will. I hope that there's accountability for that and there's investigations and But I think it's not going to completely stop. I think it's concerning that our current administration thinks it's okay for people to do it who are 18 and above or above 18. I think the current attitude is like, let adults do whatever they want. And I think that's horrible. And all these kids are just going to be waiting until they're 18 and they're going to still be indoctrinated. And I don't want this damage to be done to adults too, right? And so I think we should have laws to protect adults also. And we have so many laws that regulate what the medical community can and cannot do. And many of those laws prevent people from doing what they want to do because it would be harmful to them. And so we should be doing that. I hope that it gets there. You know, in the meantime, I will still mourn that people are making these choices and they're led to believe that these choices are the right choices and that these choices will help them and that there's medical professionals willing to, you know, continue to help them do that. And so between it happening secretly to minors and people, you know, above 18 being able to continue on with this gender affirming care in these surgeries, puberty blockers, social transitions, the carnage is going to continue. There's still going to be people who are left to, with all this damage done to their bodies. And it's absolutely tragic. And so I still believe that we should try to stop the practice legally, even though it's going to happen anyway. We hear that the case a lot from pro-choice advocates. They say things like, well, you know, if abortion is illegal, they're just going to happen illegally anyway. It's like, well, some of them, certainly some people will stop if they can't get a legal abortion, hopefully. But like, there's all kinds of things that happen illegally, but you hold people accountable. You know, crime and sin of murder, it's like it's against the law to murder someone. And yet people still do it anyway when it's against the law, but we have laws in place to minimize it and hold accountable those who do it. And so even though I think it's going to continue, we should still be developing laws and passing legislation that minimize it and hold people accountable who cause harm to others. But there's this spiritual aspect of this carnage that's happening, this devastation. People wake up and they realize that this isn't helping me. This isn't doing for me what it promised to do for me. There's this whole detransition movement. And I want Christians to be prepared. I want us to have compassion. I want us to live out our calling to give a greater hope. You know, we as a country can protect people as much as possible from harm, but our calling as Christians is so much greater. We give hope. We offer Jesus. We walk alongside people who in their darkest moments made horrible decisions and were deceived by people they should have trusted. We help them find restoration. We have so much more to offer than any government on earth could offer, any rulers or princes could ever offer, more than any president could ever offer. We have a king who reigns forever. And we don't just serve Jesus so that we can, you know, get into heaven someday, but we have a part to play in the redemption that he wants to do right here, right now in people's lives. And what a joy it is to be a part of that. And let's not then get short-sighted by thinking our only role is policy, you know, at a political level. But no, we have the opportunity to share hope with people. So let's make sure that we're not putting up obstacles to that and how we talk about it, what we say. I have to check myself so much on that all the time and evaluate, like, you know, is this thing that I'm saying is true? Is it necessary right now? Is this helpful? And sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Sometimes I still question, like, is this what I should be saying publicly? Because is this going to be helpful? And so we should, you know, fight for the truth. We should share the truth, but it should also give us pause to always ask, what truth is the most beneficial right now? What truths putting out there publicly are worth, you know, maybe the disruption in relationships? Am I giving people hope? Am I praying for people who are affected by these policy decisions, who have been so confused, and the treatments they were receiving felt like their hope, it felt like their lifeline? Are we giving them true hope in Jesus? That's what we should be praying for as Christians. So I encourage you to think through what you're saying, how you're saying it, making sure you're giving grace to those who hear, making sure that as we fight for policy that protect people, we're also nurturing the wounds of the sheep who have been wounded, and we're on a rescue mission to rescue them from the wolves. So that's all I have for you guys. Let's just take, you know, these conversations and these moments in our culture seriously. Let's be careful in how we celebrate the political wins and make sure that we're not causing more, you know, carnage in people's souls and their hearts, and how we do that, and that we keep the big picture in mind. We stay vigilant on what's happening, and we should be holding people accountable, especially our institutions. But let's keep eternity in mind for people, and let's pray for that. So if you'll join me, I just want to close in prayer for people who are affected. Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity just to share. I thank you for some of the things happening in our culture, that some of these practices are being halted by our government. Lord, I pray that we as Christians would be a part of something so much bigger than that. I pray that we'd be part of redemption that you have for people. So I pray that we'd have just compassion for people. We would offer them hope, that we can offer hope to families whose kids are struggling. I pray that we can offer hope to parents, that we can walk alongside people and bear these burdens with them. I pray for people who are confused about their gender. I pray that you would just unveil their blindedness, bring off the blinders and give them clarity. Give them a moment of clarity with you, in which you call them to yourself and you help them see that they have been deceived, but that truth comes from you, and you are the only way to the Father. I pray that as Christians, we'd be part of just revival and gospel hope in this country, that we offer people hope for an eternity, that we would enter the messy places in people's lives and just help them find redemption. We'd walk alongside them in the messiness and the dysfunction and in the midst of the darkness and the lies that they've believed. I pray that these issues in our politics wouldn't drive people further away into dysfunction, into believing lies and into this cult-like mentality, but that it would actually cause them to examine what is true, what is real. And in that process, Christians would share the hope of the gospel and that they'd come to know you. We pray these things in your name. Amen. That's all I have for you today. Thank you so much for listening and watching. Make sure you check out CalibrateMinistries.com for more resources. We appreciate your support. If you're able to support us financially, that is a great help. We appreciate being able to do what we do and bring hope to so many. Have a great time, great day. Pray for our country, pray for our people. We will see you next week.